So, had a pretty long rain delay Saturday night waiting for Red Wolves to kick off. Jeff, how did you have to pass the time while you waited for the rain to pass?
Paint it.
Awesome.
So that's not nearly as fun as what we did.
I know. You guys are a lot more fun than me, but it's work.
What did you do, Alex?
Well, you know, we were, of course, at the stadium. We took refuge underneath the executive club, and I observed a grown man having a fairly petty argument with a bunch of teenagers. What did you do while you were?
It was not petty, and I would argue I am not a grown man.
Soccer chat with two T's, because we're going to chat about soccer, but we're also in Chattanooga, so it's like a play on words. And, you know, Chattanooga is a soccer city.
All right. Welcome to Soccer Chat. A little further background. The Park City Academy team came to Chattanooga last week, played lots of friendlies and exhibitions with people in the Chattanooga and Dalton Academies. I think maybe played a couple other outside academies as well while they were here, and came to the game. And, of course, my advice to Bob is fly them out every week the rest of the season. So underneath the bleachers, of course, talk was all about Premier League, which started this week, and whose team was whose favorite. And as soon as the word Tottenham got mentioned, Adam got himself into a lather.
So the issue was that I thought the kid was a Tottenham fan because of the way he talked about them. And so I just reminded him that his trophy case was empty. And then he said, I'm a Man City fan. And he looked like he was like 9 or 10. And I was like, oh, like most of their fans, you've been around for about 10 years. So it was probably wrong of me. He was 14, so I don't feel quite as bad because, you know, it's, you know, it was all good banter. They were laughing. We were laughing. I don't think anyone took offense or got hurt other than my wife.
For sure. It was all in good fun. They were excellent participants once the game kicked off as well. Had a lot of fun listening to them and their cheering during the game.
And I believe that kid that I was kind of joking around back and forth with, his team won the penalty shootout that they did at halftime. So congrats to him for not only eventually wiping the floor with me when I thought I was a Man City fan. I really had no standing since they've won a lot more than we have lately. he won twice in one night. Let's just put it that way. Anyway, so anything happen? Game was kind of boring, right? Nothing major?
That was a lot of fun. A big week for the Chattanooga Red Wolves. Victory midweek on the road against Fuego. And then again, victory at home against Greenville. Off the snide, an 8-9 game losing skid against Greenville.
Something ridiculous like that, yeah.
And we snapped it. And
So I got
morning, birds were chirping, sun was shining.
And I got the chance to sit in Superfan Kay Baker's seats because she had to head home after the long rain delay because she has 1,000 rescue dogs that she keeps at her home. It's like 5, but I like to think it's 1,000. And so she's like, hey, if you want to sit in our seats, we're not going to be able to be there. And I was like, sure, I'll sit in the really nice seats in the middle of the stadium. And I will say, I think there were a lot less people there, 2-hour rain delay, right? But it was definitely odd to be in an area that just wasn't the natural loudness that you hear and pick up from that GA and some of that other section where Jeff usually sits. From there, from that section that Jeff sits in, which is to the left of where the middle expensive seats is, all the way around to the supporter section is very active and loud, and they still were in this game. So it's definitely a different approach, but it was kind of nice to be in the middle of the stadium and be able to see both ends a little bit easier than when you're in the supporter section and the goals happen on the other end. It's like, oh, wonder what that really looked like. Let me look at the huge scoreboard and see if I could figure it out. So speaking of those goals, I don't know if Jeff got to have nearly as much fun with it as we did being at home, but it didn't take us long to get on the board, which I thought was really important with the long rain delay.
Yeah, it was. Well, I was kind of wondering, you know, because everyone was wondering if the game was going to happen, if it was going to get totally postponed or not. But we were continued paying.
Has anyone updated Joshua Holloway? Sorry, go on, Jeff.
But it was, it was good. Obviously, it would have been more fun with actually over 116, which is quite a rowdy section. And it was a very good game. I think the last time we beat Greenville, Hankinson was coach. So
it's been a minute.
It's been a while. So Coach Weekly was able to do something that hasn't happened in years, and so that was, you know, but the team was so very on, and these pieces have been coming together the past few games. I think just kind of like this was like the payoff of every aggravation we've had all year, and maybe for the past couple of years as a Red Wolf fan, it felt like it was the karma payback, because not just the scoreline, but it was Greenville, who we have a lot of respect for, but we really want to beat, and we really want to beat 5-1, and it felt really good.
Yeah, this matchup definitely had the feel of the Oregon-USC college football matchup that USC doesn't know anything about. And so it was just
Is that
tough.
A big deal to Oregon fans?
When we get a chance to beat USC, which happens a lot more often now than it used to, it becomes very very exciting. And and so that's what this one was. And to do it after having the long rain delay, you know, I was very apprehensive about the game in general, how it was going to go, knowing that Greenville is really good at slowing the game down and kind of matching our strengths and neutralizing us. So to come off the rain delay, like you said, Adam, and go straight at them and put them back on their heels,
yeah,
felt really good. And so obviously the first goal, Josue Cartagena pounces on a loose ball at the top of the box, and I feel for the kid. It was a goal that really was worthy of being one of the goals of the week to me. From where I was standing in the supporter section, you could see it rise. So he hit it with power, and because of the spin he put on it, it rose up into the top corner, and it was pretty impressive.
It was also, I think, the distance from goal was also very impressive. It's hard to control, and then to control it that much distance was just fantastic. And so, I was one that as soon as that happened, I'm going, well, that's got to be one of the goals of the week. That's got to be on the at least one of the contenders. But spoiler alert, I said that a few times tonight or on that game. So that was a fantastic goal. I think it was a good setup. And I like the lack of hesitation. It was just the control to knock it in. So a lot of confidence.
Yeah, I mean, this is a game where the Rebels scored 6 goals. Unfortunately, only 5 of them counted for us. It was definitely a game that, in all honesty, even with that early 2-goal lead, you still felt like it was an early, somewhat shaky lead because of the way in which it was very open and back and forth. And when that own goal, and it is truly an own goal, like that I've rewatched it. It's not just a barely touched him. It's an own goal, which stinks, right? It happens. But it's definitely one that didn't have to happen. So it is a full on own goal. It's not one that's just own goal in name only. But even after the own goal, you still felt like it's 2-1. It's early. This could go the wrong direction quickly. It almost kind of had one of those feels of like, is this going to be like the Greenville Tucson game, or not Tucson, Greenville Tormenta game that was 5-5, right? Like,
yeah,
it had a bit of a feel like that early on. And then our defense really settled after the own goal.
Okay, well, I want to back up because we skipped a goal there because we went from 1-0 and you jumped to 2-1. And so there was a second goal in the first half by us. and you saw a really nice assist from Tanky, and then just I love the control that Jimmy Villalobos had in the box, because he got in position, and it felt like they switched roles. It felt like, you know, they had switched brains, or they had done a body swap movie, because he was right where Tanky usually is. One thing I was really impressed with Jimmy, with how he was still, he was watching the ball, he was watching what was going on, but also watching to make sure he wasn't getting offsides. He very easily could have gotten offsides. He got right in the box and poached it, and I don't know why the goal, I don't know what the goalkeeper was thinking, Jimmy beat him handily. And so I think the Villalobos goal was another one I thought, well, this has got to be also in contention for goal of the week as well.
So we're going to do a short segment here in a little bit, Jeff, and I'll give both you and Alex a chance to kind of rate these goals and Alex can speak a little bit to how you want to do that rating. But if you're watching us on YouTube, you'll get a chance to see it. If you're listening to us on the podcast and you want to see these goals a little bit more directly, flip over to the YouTube channel for that section so you can get a chance to see them. You'll hear the audio from the League One broadcast, but just give you a chance to do that as well.
So I go back to what you're talking about, Adam. We had a 2-0 lead, and I spent most of the time just thinking, you know, can this be real? It's amazing that we're up 2-0. And then you talked about the goal. I feel like it was a bit of a fluke as the cross comes to the back post. Daniel Navarro did kind of misplay it, but it went off the inside of his foot, hit the post, and scooted all the way across the goal and just barely went over the line. And you almost wonder if Tor Saunders had been aware and had reached back and grabbed the ball, that the referee might not have even awarded the goal for it. It was that close to the line. It was a legitimate goal. I believe it was over the line. But it was just, the way that it kind of bounced and then went sideways. And everyone was like, "What? That's in the goal." And then, for the next hour, the next 60 minutes, the Red Wolves had to settle in and defend. And Greenville was pushing, and it was the score line was great at the end of the game, but for that 60 minutes, it was pretty intense, waiting for that shoe to drop, knowing the quality of Greenville, and thinking, "Oh my gosh." You know, they've got most of the ball. They're creating more of the chances. Tor, he had 3 or 4 amazing saves in the first half. He had an amazing game in his start, and I think has earned the right to play in the next one, taking nothing away from Carlos, but just with the type of game that he had and the number of saves that he made to keep that game 2-1, so that finally in the second half, when Greenville had punched themselves out, we were able to close the door.
Yeah. And then I really do think that was Tor's best performance in a Red Wolves jersey. And
probably his best performance in a game that involved the Rebels since he was in goal when they beat us in the Open Cup when he was in Tormenta 2.
He's... I think at the times he played for us, it feels like half of them, whenever we've seen him on the pitch, half the time it was in the Open Cup. So, it was. I think it was refreshing, and we did see that Carlos was available, and so.
Which is good news.
Huh?
Which is very good news, because it did not seem like that was going to be a possibility by the way that injury looked that he sustained. A week ago, it was 3 days beforehand for him to be on the bench. And from what I understand, in a limited capacity, one of those things where he would be on the bench as an emergency only. But even for that to be a possibility was really good news.
Yeah, because I was concerned when he went down. We already started the year having to get Tor because our who should have been our starting keeper got injured. So we've got I guess we lead the leagues in injured keepers. But Tor was, I think he did very good at Fresno as well. But seeing him at this match, I think that he kind of came in his own. And so I think he earned a lot of people's respect on Saturday night.
So he, again, at the very end of the first half, made a save at point-blank range that was nominated for Save of the Week. And I don't even think that was his best save. There was a different one earlier in the half where he was moving to his left and the shot came in and he had to change direction and go to his right. And he got a hand out and parried the ball away. That was super impressive to me.
And I think you've pegged one of the things that is a little bit deceiving on the Save of the Week is a lot of it is which one looked best on our two cameras, Save of the Week. and that's, you know, that's just the nature of where we're at. We have two cameras, right? You're not going to have all those great views that you get in, you know, higher level soccer. But a lot of times if the save is done in traffic, it almost never gets nominated for Goal of the Week because they just don't have a good angle on it. There are saves that we've seen in person where you're like, how is that not nominated? Because that ball was curving away from him and he barely touched it over the bar or whatever it is. And you go watch the replay on ESPN Plus and you go, oh, it's because from their viewpoint, it's just four defenders and an offensive player and the ball goes over the bar. Like they didn't see what we saw because of the camera angles. So
yeah, it's always, even though I was painting at the house, it's always better to watch at the stadium, and we've got one of the best stadiums to watch it in.
So I think I want to go ahead and jump into this, picking, which one's your favorite goals, just because I think it's going to take some time because these are some pretty long clips. Alex, do you want to give Jeff the breakdown of how he can rank these as we watch them, and I'll let the two of you be the rankers, and I'll play it up.
So we are going to be rating these goals, Jeff, on what's known as the Diggity Scale, which comes from a famous Who Wants to Be a Millionaire question about how Dr. Dre in what classic 90s R&B hit features Blackstreet singing I Like the Way You Work It. The song would be No Diggity, Hardly Any Diggity, A Fair Amount of Diggity, or An Overwhelming Surplus of Diggity. So we're going to rate these goals according to that diggity scale in the multiple choice there. Is there no diggity, hardly any, a fair amount, or an overwhelming surplus?
All right, so here is that first goal.
Off for Lombardi. First touch now for Jose Carrera, the captain. Now Ortiz by the end line. Pulling it across, just over Menzingen's head. Touched back. First time strike is true. What a start for Chattanooga.
All right, gentlemen, we'll start with you, Jeff. Where are we on the diggity scale?
All right, so I'm too old to really know the diggity reference. So to me, the diggity was from a Hot Diggity, and I think it was an Oscar Mayer song back in the day. But that's got a fair amount of diggity to it. So I don't think any of them are going to get a no diggity, except for maybe the own goal. But, yeah, I'd say a fair amount of diggity on that one.
I'm going to have to go with overwhelming surplus. I enjoy the commentator giving Rafa Menzingen the assist from the bench. he was not in the game at the time that it happened. And in listening to the clip, they played it on the U.S. Soccer down here does a League One recap. And they never even gave Josue Cartagena credit for his first professional goal. You can kind of see on the replay how it rises into the corner, and that's what turns it into the overwhelming surplus of dignity for me, that goal.
All right, so moving from there on to that second goal, and here it is for you.
Working hard in training, Jimmy Weakley said. No foul given there. Chattanooga are away. They have three in the attack with a fourth joining. Down the right side they come. Galindres squares it, and it's two.
All right, we'll start with Alex this time. Where are you on the diggity scale?
So this one I'm going to give a fair amount because I want to give Jimmy Villalobos props. We talk a lot when we watch the Red Wolves play about when they cross and there's never anyone at the back post. In this goal, you see immediately when it gets stolen, he's making a break for that back post, and that's exactly where Galindres finds him, and he slides it in. It's kind of a tap-in. But I do want to give him the credit, so that's where we're going to go with a fair amount of diggity on that goal.
All right, well, we're swapping places because I'm giving it an overwhelming amount of diggity on this one. for some of the same reasons, because we've struggled to get people in position like that. And Jimmy was in perfect position. But the second part was he just was – he was very confident and controlled that keeper. I don't – you know, that I think if it had been someone else in the box kicking like that, I think the keeper would have stopped it. But Jimmy had the control. He had the confidence. And he outplayed their keeper. And that's what gives it an over amount. Is it, how do you say it? Over amount?
What's overwhelming
surplus.
Overwhelming surplus.
Of DVD. Okay. Wow. All right. So I'm going to go ahead and skip the own goal and assume you both are going with no diggity for that. Correct.
That's the only no diggity. I'll agree. That was a no diggity.
Okay. So that takes us to the goal that gave us a little bit more breathing room in the second half. And here's that one for you guys.
Now, that's a good ball for Espinoza, shifting it onto his left. Espinoza, what a goal!
Ooh, ooh.
What a strike by Mo Espinoza.
Mm. Mm. All right, you get to start, Jeff.
All right, I'm going to go an overwhelming surplus of diggity with this one. Again, I was watching this, and I kept saying to myself, well, that surely has to be a contender for goal of the week. And what I love about this is the goal that they're practicing all the time. This is the goal you want to take, and you want to make it in front of people. This is the one where you're shooting at that sweet spot where the goalkeeper can't reach it. It was nice. It was control. He had the distance, nice air, but it was set in that perfect spot that it's really difficult for a keeper to stop, as what happened. So overwhelming surplus of diggity for Mo.
I'm going to agree. Overwhelming surplus. It had the bend. It went in, you know, bending to that far corner. He had absolutely zero hesitation. It was one touch. He let it go. And, you know, it turned the corner. It took what was a very nervy game and opened the floodgates. You could see everyone in the building relax when that goal went in. Kudos at the very end. You cut it off, but the little dance celebration between Mo and Carrera Garcia is pretty classic.
Yeah, this was the turning point of the game. I felt it too, Alex. At this point, Greenville was out, and they were on their back foot the rest of the way. We talked about for that long period of time where it was tense and it felt like they were going to come back. That is when we put the stake in the heart of this green vampire who was wearing.
Maybe 5 minutes prior, us guys that were in the supporter section were all saying to each other, man, an extra goal right now would make us feel a whole lot better.
And it did.
It did.
All right, so that moves us to the first of two Rafa goals. And I want you guys to also, while you're looking at this, comment on what happens with the with Tahereh in the background as this is happening as well, if you don't mind.
Taken by Cardona. And headed off the crossbar. Second chance. It's four. It's Rafa Menzingen. It's game, set, and match.
I'm going to give that a fair amount of diggity. Alex Tahereh had a fantastic header on that corner and put it off the crossbar. That I wanted that to be a short corner, and I wanted them to stand on the ball. And that's why I sit in the stands instead of be one of the players on the field, because they sent that cross right to Alex Tahereh's forehead. He rose up and won it, but it went off the crossbar, and then Rafa was there to finish.
I'm also going to say a fair amount of diggity. I think it was a really good goal. Probably the thing I was impressed with was it was another show of what happens when you keep at it. Too many times this season, we don't get it back. We're not striking again, or when we are getting that second shot, we're doing so. We're overdoing it. We don't want to have the power or control. But that was Rafa showing how it's done. And if it had been that header that Alex had, then yeah, that'd be a overwhelming surplus. But as it is, that's a fair amount of diggity.
It takes a lot to get you guys to give him the full diggity there, because it was a triple meg. Like, He met two defenders and the goalkeeper while his teammate was in despair to the left of them over missing the header. But, hey, I mean, you guys are the experts on the Diggity scale, so I
defer to you. It's probably because we've seen the whole game, and that's how we're measuring our Diggities.
Well, here's your last chance.
Also saw a long weather delay. What happened in the middle of the match? Meanwhile, there might be more for Chattanooga. Menzingen could be in. Menzingen, the chip. He has a second. That's all class. That's five.
This is the kind of goal that you don't take home and introduce to mom.
This is like you're playing Rick James.
This is an overwhelming surplus of Diggity. And I don't want to be too critical of the commentator because at least it was someone that didn't actively hate the home team. But he did not meet the level of that goal and what Rafa did in getting the ball lost under his feet but not really losing control of it and noticing that everyone was out. And there was a split second behind the goal where you think, oh, no, it's going over, and it dropped in. And that was just amazing.
That has, I'm not even going to say an overwhelming surplus of Diggity. That has all the Diggity in the world. That was fantastic. It was, again, just that tap in the arc. And the humiliation it brought to Greenville, that pushes it over. This is the king of all Diggities.
All right, so I'm actually going to say that's a no Diggity goal. And here's why.
Do you understand the rules of the Diggity scale?
And here's why. No one should embarrass another professional athlete to that level and in any scenario and feel like they can walk away without having chances of their life being in danger. Because that was just harsh. Like, you're already up 4-1, and the look of all the defenders and the goalkeeper when they kind of like all like in unison are like, son of a.
Well, okay, it's Greenville, and how many times has that expression been on not just us but other opponents of Greenville? It's about time they got their medicine.
Yeah, I mean, I had to go somewhere different somehow, and I was trying my hardest to come up with something. But yeah, that was unreal. Like you're exactly right, Alex. Like even from the side angle, because at that point I was sitting, you know, where my wife was normally sits, and because I moved around the stadium quite a bit, or not a lot of people stayed. When I was sitting there, like even from that angle, which is perfectly like she sits kind of right there where it would be parallel to where that is going. I'm watching going, it's going to be on top of the net. And then it just like dropped a lot quicker than I thought it would. And I was like, oh, that's just wrong. But the best part of both Rafa goals, my eldest daughter has a slight obsession with him. I keep reminding her that she's 16 and he's married. She missed both goals because she had gone to the restroom. And then because she's a 16-year-old, it took her 10 minutes to use the restroom because that's a thing apparently for teenage girls. So she missed both his goals, which was just hilarious to me. So anyways, I'm sure if she actually listened to the podcast, she'd be mad at me for mentioning that.
Congrats to the thigh master, Rafa Menzingen.
I thought he was the quad
father. Yeah, he has multiple. I mean, when you score goals like that, you get multiple nicknames.
Dawn of Diggity.
It was great. We could have had all three Goal of the Week nominees if you took, in my opinion, Carta, Mo Espinoza's, and Rafa's second. They didn't. They put it all with Rafa. There were other teams apparently in the league that played during the week, so they had to nominate some of them. But at least it doesn't split the Chattanooga Red Bulls vote.
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll be seeing Rafa with the taking away the prize.
Yeah. All right, so that brings us to a preview of this upcoming weekend.
Before we do that, can I give one quick shout-out?
No.
Riley Kraft announced on Friday, came in at halftime of this game. Midfielder, had played with Richmond in 2019, came to us by way of playing with Des Moines Menace in USL League Two this fall, this summer. And he had a great half. He was very active and energetic and fighting for the ball and chasing after when they lost possession. And so welcome to Chattanooga. Great performance turned in 45 minutes on Saturday.
I'd agree. I made a lot of cheesy jokes to my wife about how he was a very crafty player. And she did not find them nearly as funny as I did.
Are we going to nickname him Mac? Is this where this is going?
I thought about it. Like, you know, like what's the best craft? And is it mac and cheese? In order to pull that off, though, we need someone on the team to be cheese so that we can make them mac and cheese. And I haven't figured out who that could be. So I'm just going
to we'll work on it. Reach out to the show at Soccer Chat on Twitter if you have any ideas on that.
All right, so that does take us to this upcoming game. Madison is currently playing, as we're recording here on Wednesday, in North Carolina. That game was delayed by lightning because North Carolina is also in the South. And that game has started, and Madison is currently leading 1-0 in the 24th minute. So those of you that are really bored can figure out exactly when we recorded this. But as we head to that forward game, this is the game that actually reminds me more of the USC-Oregon football, because one team is really focused on winning and the other one's focused on creating uniforms. So my question to you, Alex, is as you look to playing the Oregon of USL League One, what should we be looking for out of that team?
I don't like this. I don't like this at all. I grew up in Oregon. I'm an Oregon fan. We're not nearly as snooty and pretentious. So I know that we all want to make the jokes that it's a clothing company that plays soccer on the weekends. And all of those jokes, they're wonderful. They're fun. But unfortunately, Madison's kind of a bogey club for us. This is another one that we have to go back to the Hankinson era to when we beat them. Our very first home game at CCS, David Stanton Field, was the only time. We have multiple draws, lots of draws against them. That tends to be kind of where these games go, but we've also had a couple losses up in Madison. We've never won there. And so as we just slayed one dragon in Greenville, who we had trouble beating, as we're on a 5-game unbeaten streak, this is another one that makes me kind of anxious. Are the guys buzzing enough? Are they going to show up with enough hunger and get out on the front foot? There's so many games up there in Madison where they start and it's just flat and nothing happens. And you can tell that it's just not going to be their night. They don't have any more games to really sacrifice in the schedule. They've got to continue to grind out points and bring wins. We talked a couple weeks ago about whether or not this team was turning a corner. And I talked about the three games, playing at Omaha, at Fuego, and coming home against Greenville. And I said, if they can bring me 5 points, I'll feel a lot more confident that they've turned a corner. They gave me 7.
And they were darn close to giving you 9.
They almost gave me 9. That's true. And then we've got, you know, two other, a win and a draw before that thing happened. So we're on a 5-game unbeaten run, and 3 of them are wins, 2 draws. That's a good record. Credit to Jimmy Weekly for keeping the ship steady as Coach Jimmy Obleda was placed on suspension, double secret suspension, apparently. And so are they going to be able to show up and do that? Because Madison is going to make this game slow and sluggish. They're going to play direct. They're going to play physical. They have a good following. Their fan base is going to be excited. And so it's going to be an interesting atmosphere and a game that could be frustrating unless they're ready to pounce like they did against Greenville early in the game and get on the front foot.
I was going to say, the other thing to keep in mind is they are also on an unbeaten streak. Assuming they either hold on or end up with a tie with North Carolina, they will be on a 6-game unbeaten streak. Right. Prior to that, they did get that ridiculous blowout against the Independents where they lost 6-2. But they've really turned around after that, right? A 2-1 victory, a 2-0 victory, and then 3 ties. And if they win this game versus North Carolina, that they will be looking at, you know, 3 wins and 3 ties in their last 6 games. That's not bad for League One, right? 12 points in 6 games, that's pretty good, right? So we're not going to be going against the team that seems to always be more focused on their clothing than they do on the field. They're a different team as well this year. If they hold on in this game that they're currently playing, that they vault in front of us to, if you pretend the points per game aren't a thing, they vault in front of us to third place with a game in hand and one more point than us. So they're in a better spot. So lots to kind of keep in mind as you go into this. I think you're right. We have to get on the front foot again. I think if you look at Madison, they're not a team that scores a lot of goals, but they're also not a team that necessarily gives up a lot of goals, right? They've only got 24 goals against. That's one of the better ones in the league right now. And so it's really important that we score early and set the tone.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I got to mention, because we glossed over on this, and I got to remind you where we are. Our club is based in East Ridge in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And so most people don't care about Oregon, and they think USC is South Carolina.
There's no one that thinks USC is South Carolina. I want to make this clear. No one thinks – when they hear Carolina, they think North Carolina. When they hear USC, they think the Trojans. That's why they have to call themselves the Gamecocks, so people actually know who they are. Go ahead.
Well, but the point being is I would say that you guys are way off base on our market. But then again, I also thought that both people who watch the show probably know what you're talking about. So it's a – but that's fine. I agree that we joke about Madison, but they are a threat, and they also, in this year in particular, I think they have to be in talk about how far they're going to go in the playoffs. I would be shocked if they're not in the playoffs. So we always have to take them serious. I also agree that I think the key is to get in early. And we don't necessarily have to maintain control the whole time. We don't have to maintain possession, the whole time. But we need to get in there early and show that we're a danger. And this is what I'm kind of wondering is this the game where we go back where we've got Alex starting as the striker and bring in Tanky in later on like we had done in the past, but to give us that extra push? Because I think it took a few games, but I think Alex is showing himself really strong. And Rafa, he could play almost the whole 90 minutes and be a threat. We've got Mo healthy. We've got Ray healthy. So we've got a lot of attacking options. And, of course, Jimmy is Villalobos, and others are always able to contribute in. We haven't seen much from the other Josue in a little bit. Maybe España's overdue. So it would be... I'm wondering, is this the time where we're going to see them come back with the blitz at the end, but start with speed and end with power?
All right, so let's just jump into our predictions. Jeff, I'm going to let you just talk again. What is your prediction for this game?
I'm going to go for 1-2. I don't think it's going to be a blowout like it was, partly because it's going to be in Madison and not home. I think one big advantage could be the fact that they have the extra game in hand, you know, another game they're playing that we're not, but that didn't impact us when we went to Fuego. I think that they're going to get one. I think it's going to go us, them, and then us again.
I'm going to be conservative, and I see this game ending as a 1-1 draw. I think Madison scores first. Alex Tejera has impressed me the last couple of games. I think he is about ready to score his first Red Wolf goal. I think he does so later in the match, you know, final 20 minutes of the game, whether that's off the bench or him starting. It's a game that, you know, feels disappointing because we aren't able to come away with the win in Madison like we've wanted for so long. But the team grows in confidence because they were able to battle back from a deficit and take a point on the road.
So I think you're right about Tor earning his start. And I think he's going to have a clean sheet. One of the things that I kind of mentioned in there was, they're only given up 24 goals. They've also only scored 24 goals in 19 games. So they're not a high scoring team. And I think that works to our advantage because we are a high scoring team and in bunches. And I think we come out of this with a 2-0 victory.
Yeah. Our high scoring has mostly been two games, but.
Well, that's not true. I mean, there's three. I mean, there's a 4, a 7, a 5. I just hold that, you've got at some point, like, it's one of those things that you can always take away a big game, right? And say, you take this away, then they do this, right? But when you have three where you scored 4 or more, that says you have the ability to score in bunches. It's not a fluke. And I think when we're clicking, we're really clicking. And you kind of mentioned this, Jeff, a lot of players are getting healthy at the right time. And I think that's going to work to our advantage. And I would love to see Pedro Hernandez get a chance back in the team. I was a little disappointed that he wasn't there in this game this weekend, just because I felt like he was just something different when he was on the field and brought a lot of energy prior to that red card. And I'd like to see him get out there because I think if he's out there on the road providing that energy, whether it's Galindres or it's Tejera up top, I think you could see an assist come from Pedro if he gets that start and puts that same energy level in. Hopefully not to the point of another double yellow, but.
I think this is we're having a reversal of last year. At this time last year, we started our slide down. We had amazing form, and then we decided we were going to quit two-thirds of the way through. And this time, it's the opposite. Two-thirds of the way through, we're really coming on. So I'm hoping that continues out and we get a chance to go into the playoffs really confident and strong.
Yeah, and I think that's a design. They were very intentional with players who were hurt towards the beginning of the year in bringing them back and not rushing them back so that they broke down again, right? That two-thirds mark is where some of these players, the Red Wolves don't ever make any announcements about player injuries. And so that's what happened with a lot of these guys. They were hurt. They were unable to play. And so when we were missing those guys, we lost the quality and the results dropped. And we had a lot of struggles early in the season because a lot of these guys weren't completely healthy. They weren't there. They weren't playing. Some of the newer players weren't getting into, weren't here that have come into the mix and have really stepped things up. But I think that's a good explanation of why and what they wanted to make sure. If we're going to struggle, let's do it early so that we can come on in the fall when we know we really want to make a push in the playoffs.
Not only did we lose quality last year, we lost depth. And that's the thing where, again, it felt like the whole year up until now, our depth was suffering. And now we're looking at the bench going, ooh, this looks good. We've got some really good choices that we haven't had for a while now.
Including, as you talked about, Espana, who was in street clothes on Saturday.
Okay.
Wasn't part of the 18.
A healthy scratch. Yeah.
Was a healthy scratch. So, that goes to your point about depth.
Yeah. All right, well, that brings us towards the end of our show, and I believe, Alex, you have yet another one of your world-famous Biggleswade reports. Is that correct?
Before we start that, let's give a quick shout-out to Jono Ricketts. Give a shout-out to Jono Ricketts, also nominated for USL Championship Goal of the Week. Had a pretty awesome volley from outside the box himself for his first-ever USL Championship goal. Want to make sure some of those players that are former Red Wolves know that we care about them. Ricky Ruiz playing with him in RGV. He had a little bit of a family issue. One of his brothers, unfortunately, in a bad car wreck. So we want Ricky to know that we're thinking of him. We hope that that things are okay with his family and that his brother's all right. He also has a couple goals on the year, so I don't want him to be left out in this. But congrats, Jono. Fantastic banger. And hopefully he takes home goal of the week in USL Championship. But that was not the only soccer. There was, of course, stuff across the pond. And that's why we have our Biggleswade report. unfortunately, in the extra preliminary round of the FA Cup, which is literally the very first round of FA Cup action over in the UK, we're like 8 or 9 rounds from when the Premier League teams join in and start playing. But Biggleswade United traveled to Gorleston, and unfortunately had a barrage, went down 0-4, or no, 4-0, because the Gorleston was the home team. They went down 4-0, played a little better in the second half, but were not able to get any of those goals back and crash out in that first round. They will be playing Cock Fosters on Saturday. That will be a home game, their home opener. Good luck to Biggleswade United in the Spartan South Midland League and elsewhere in Biggleswade. Biggleswade Town will be playing at home against Cirencester. I don't know what they're called. They'll be taking them on in their season opener, and Biggleswade FC on the road at Berkhamsted. Good luck to all our friends in Biggleswade on their early season matches. Also, our good friends up in Hamilton, the Hamilton Forge, get the treble versus Halifax Wanderers with a 1-0 victory. That's 3 wins this year in the Canadian Premier League against Halifax Wanderers.
Jeff, you
and
anything to say about that?
In Halifax next week.
Good stuff.
And I will go by the grounds. Unfortunately, I don't think I'm going to make it there in time because they do have a match at Saturday, but I don't think they're going to get there until late Saturday.
So that means we will not be seeing Jeff at the stadium for the next home game on the 20th, unfortunately.
Well, tomorrow is my daughter's 16th birthday, so I get to deal with the 16-year-old, so gladly.
Excellent, excellent. Well, we wish her a sweet 16. Gentlemen, do you have anything else for our listeners before we sign off? Well, then based off of that, I think it's time for us to all say...
Bye.
I really love the way the Earth rotates. Really makes my day.